The joy of being at summer camp is I had someone else prepping a sermon. So Dan Amos, one of our former elders, is going to come. He's hiding somewhere. And share with us from God's word. And Dan, as you come, I want to pray for you.
Okay.
Dear God, Lord, I thank you so much for my brother. I thank you for this word that you have put on his heart, that has come out of his life together with others in your family. And may you teach us through his words and through your word in scripture. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. All right, the first thing I'm going to do here is I'm going to write down the time because there is this bubble around when you come up here, at least when I come up here, and I lose all track of time. So, my name is Dan. I've been here for a few years. Fran and I have been here for 31 years. And one of the blessings that we have here is we've been in community group almost every one of those 31 years. And this year we've had the pleasure of going through Joshua and Hebrews and just wrestling with some really tough stuff. And it's just been great for me just to dig into, okay, what does that really mean? Well, we're finishing up with Joshua, and one of the people in our group says, yeah, there's been some weird stuff. How about Elisha and the she-bears? I'm like, what? I've been going to church since I was born. I mean, I can't tell you when that was. But I've never heard that. And if I did, I wasn't paying attention, or it didn't get covered very well. So we're going to go through that today. One of the things, so how this all started was, and Lars Pasek is in our group, and he's our elder chair, and he's looking for people to fill in for Ryan, give him a couple breaks during the summer, especially as he was doing his final ordination paperwork and all that. And so when this topic came up, I'm like, oh, that's cool, I'll do that. So we're taking an excursion from Corinthians because there's no way I could have followed Daniel last week and then continued on with Corinthians. So we're going to go into something that's weird. And when I've been thinking about this for a couple of months, it may not feel like it, but I have been. So as Ryan's been preaching through Genesis, he had this quote up in the Bible, if it's weird, it's important. I'm like, yeah. Okay. The scriptures are not random. Things are there for a reason. And that was something that Michael Heiser had written, but Ryan used it in his sermon on the Nephilim. And that was some weird stuff there as well. So we're going to get into two verses about Elisha and the she-bears. Now, this is from the English Standard Version. It's fairly similar to almost all the other versions out there. So it starts in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. He, and that's Elisha, went up from there to Bethel. And while he was going up on the way, some small boys came out of the city and jeered at him, saying, "Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head." And Elisha turned around, and when he saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord, and two she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of the boys. Now, I added verse 25 just to show you how weird this passage is. From there, he went on to Mount Carmel, and from there, he returned to Samaria. That's it. So 42, as it says here, small boys come out, meet Elisha, and they, "Hey, Baldy, get out of here." And for that, the Holy Spirit sends two she-bears. Just a little bit weird. And when I'm talking about miracles here, you know, I may say Elisha did it or Elijah did it. It's really the Holy Spirit who did it, just so that we're clear on that. So as I was researching this, I also looked at some people who have looked at this passage who don't believe in God, who are opposed to God, who would be very much in the line of who I think these small boys were. They use words to describe this passage as infamous, notorious, morally repugnant. And at the face of it, it's like, okay, I don't know how to deal with this. But we're going to deal with it. So let's look at the context of what's going on here. We're going to go back several years. So don't get worried. I'll go through it fairly quickly. So you had the United Kingdom under David and Solomon. And then Solomon kind of went Pharaoh-like and started levying taxes and instituting slave labor to build his stuff. And the northern tribes rebelled against that and set up their own kingdom. So you've got this northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And in the northern kingdom, the first king said, we don't want to go down to Jerusalem and worship there. We're going to set up two separate places of worship, and I'm going to put a golden calf in each one, establish my own priesthood, and we're going to worship there. One of those places was Bethel. And remember, that's where this all happened, was in Bethel. So God had his prophet Elijah going to the kings and saying, no, this is wrong. Stop it. You are leading the people away from me. You are instituting idol worship. This is bad. So he's calling out all of Israel. That's the name of the northern kingdom, and the kings. And God sent a drought on the land. And so Ahab, the king, he's interested in ending this drought, and he wants to go, you know, he's talking with Elijah, and how are we going to fix this? And Elijah says, okay, your prophets of Baal, your god Baal, is supposed to be able to take care of this. So let's have a challenge. And so he sets up a challenge, and this is one of those other weird, miraculous things where 450 priests of Baal come, and they have a altar set up with a bull on it, and Elijah says, call down fire and have it, have your god prove that he is real, okay? And they couldn't do it. And there's a little bit of mocking by Elijah through the whole thing. It's kind of funny. So when it's Elijah's turn, he has them douse the sacrifice in the wood with water several times. And God, poof, takes care of it. He sends fire, burns it all up. It's just gone. So then the people, Elijah says to the people, get rid of these priests. And 450 of these priests are slaughtered. So the priests of Baal, gone. This upsets the king, and especially the king's wife, Jezebel, who is a Canaanite woman who instituted the worship of Baal. So she's mad. She does not like Elijah, and she wants him gone. So Elijah kind of goes into hiding. And while he's in hiding, God says, you know, what are you doing? But he also tells him, I need you to anoint the king of Syria. I need you to anoint a king over Israel. And I need you to go and anoint Elisha, who's going to be your replacement. We don't see the anointing of the king of Syria, and the anointing of the king of Israel comes later under Elisha. But we do see the call to Elisha. So he goes and he finds Elisha. Elisha is out in the field. He's plowing. He's got this team of oxen, and Elijah comes up to him. And I know it's really confusing, Elijah and Elisha. I'll probably get them screwed up. But Elijah takes his cloak and he puts it on Elisha and anoints him. And Elisha's response is he kills his oxen, uses the equipment to sacrifice them. So he's all in. He has, you know, one of our explorers, I forget which one, said, burn the ships. Burn the ships, I'm all in, okay? Now, Elisha was probably in his 20s, maybe, late 20s. We don't really know, but, you know, he takes up the call, and he apprentices with Elijah for several years. It's probably something around 6 years. Now, the time has come for Elijah to be called up. And this is one of those other weird things. And I'm not going to go into it. I'll let Ryan take care of that sometime if he feels like it. But, you know, it starts in 2 Kings chapter 2. As Elijah prepares to, God prepares to take up Elijah in a whirlwind. and then it goes through this process. And Elisha is following with Elijah as he goes on this trip through Israel, eventually crossing the Jordan River. And at this point, it's time. And Elijah turns to Elisha and says, "What is it that I can give you before I go?" And Elisha says, "Give me a double portion of your spirit." Now, the double portion of an inheritance goes to the eldest son and says, "You are my guy. You know, this, it all goes to you." Because, you know, can you really get a double portion of the Holy Spirit? It's either kind of an all or nothing thing. And Elijah says, "It's not mine to give. If God allows you to see me taken up, that'll be your sign that it's given to you." And so he did. He got to see chariots of fire come, a whirlwind, take Elijah up, and he was gone. Now, this has just happened, okay? So Elisha comes back across the river, performing a miracle along the way, and he's heading up, and he's going through Bethel. So he's starting this journey. So now Elisha is approaching Bethel, and there's this flash mob that comes out to meet him. And you get the sense that, you know, he's walking along, and all of a sudden they come out of the woods. He doesn't know they're there, turns and looks at him. And it says the bear mauled 42 of them, which implies that there was a much greater crowd. And I'm kind of doing the math. Okay, two bears, 42 mauled, so that's 21 each. Let's just say they really quick and they go 1 second per person. In 21 seconds, I'm going to be a long ways away, as far away as I can get. So there's probably this very large group of people that came out to get him. I'm thinking way more than 42. We don't know. So the question is, are they ill-mannered boys or an angry mob? So let's look at the word there, two words that describe small boys, the way it's translated. So a lot of, there's two words. One's a noun, nar, and the other is katan, an adjective. And that word, nar, has been used to describe the baby Moses, so, okay, very young. The adult Absalom, it's used in Genesis to describe a servant, an armor bearer, and Judges. In Kings, it's called for a king's official. And then in 1 Samuel, which I think is very significant, it's used as priest. And what I take from this is, well, we'll get there. Katan, the adjective, meaning really young, is used a couple of times. One of them most significantly is King Solomon, when he's 20 years old, just became king, and God has asked him, "What is it that I can give you?" And Solomon says, I'm just a young child. I don't know anything. I need wisdom. So that he uses that noun and that adjective in that place right there. So now we get to the mob. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, it uses the term, "On the way, young," and in quote, in parentheses, "maturing and accountable boys came out of the city." So I like that one a lot better. But I really think that who these people are priests. They're servants of the priests of the industry of worship of the golden calf in Bethel, which would explain why you can get a crowd of 42 plus people, a homogenous crowd of young men all together at the same time. How they knew that Elisha was coming, and what they're going to do. Let's go on to the next one here. So what did they do? They came out, and they called him out. They really lacked any kind of a challenge against God. You know, the priests of Baal tried it, and they were unsuccessful to do anything to challenge God. These priests, same. They didn't have an argument to give, so they resorted to name-calling. Not that we've ever seen that in our time where you don't have a good argument, so you resort to name-calling. We don't see that ever. But in calling him out and saying, hey, Baldy, okay, that's disrespectful, name-calling. Okay, go up. What do they mean, go up? Well, because of what just happened with Elijah, they're saying, prove that you are who you say you are, that you have the authority that God has given you, and go up. Make yourself go up. So they were mocking his authority, but really, what are we talking about here? This is the challenge that Satan has been doing since the garden of challenging God's word, his work, and his people. They had no respect for God. So what did Elisha do? It doesn't really tell us. It says he turned and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Now, if he had turned and said, hey, God, send bears, that'd be the weirdest curse ever, I think. We don't know. And it wasn't him who did it anyway. He just said, probably turned and said, God, you were being mocked. Teach them a lesson. Well, the Holy Spirit chose to send two bears. In Joshua, we had seen where the army of Israel was going out to meet the enemy, and God sent a horde of hornets ahead of them to disperse the enemy. So, you know, hornets, bears, you know, it's lots of different things that God can do. And did they die? I don't know. It says they were torn apart or mauled. I didn't get into the nuances of what that word means. Medical care at the time was pretty weak, so yeah, probably some of them did die. But were they given an opportunity? Did God actually show them a little grace in their last moments or to turn their lives around for those people who escaped? Did they take that as an opportunity to turn their life around? I don't know. So what are the enduring lessons here? Obviously, name-calling, not a good thing. Greg over here has a great T-shirt today that he wore. It's got two bears on it. It says, respect your elders. And that's usually, you know, kind of the theme of what comes out of this. But they were mocking God, not just Elisha. They were turning on God, saying, you have no authority here. You're not in control. And God said, yeah, I am. So when our faith is mocked, it's not us that's being mocked. It's God that's being mocked. And then Elisha, you know, he's just at the start of his ministry as prophet, and he's going to be there for quite a while. It's kind of interesting that Elijah is recorded as either 7 or 8 miracles, and Elisha is recorded as 14 or 16. It depends on how you count the miracles, but it's Elisha is recorded with a double portion of miracles. It's just an interesting thing. But God goes before his people. So he said to Elisha in that act, I've got your back. So when I send you out, you can be confident that I'm going before you. And we know that God will do that. And, you know, Philippians 4:19, everybody knows this verse. And my God will meet all your needs according to his will. Now, a lot of times we look at that as he's going to provide for my comfort and happiness here on this earth. And I've been learning this lesson over and over and over again, that what he really means is, when I have something for you to do, I will make sure that you have what you need to do it. He will provide for our needs according to his will. His most important thing is for us to become holy, not to be happy here. It's all about his provision, not mine. Excuse me. And in this time of volcanoes on nearly every continent, earthquakes, fires out of control, missiles being fired back and forth, just the potential for mass destruction everywhere, I take comfort in knowing that God is in control. no matter what I do, God is in control. It's His plan. His hand is in all of this. So, this is a weird situation. In the Bible, if it's weird, it's important. Scripture's not random. Things are there for a reason. And then the second part that I covered up earlier is, if after you've done the grunt work of context-driven interpretation, if what the biblical text says still disturbs you, let it. And this really became something that made sense to me as I was going through this, because in my American mind, 42 bears tearing up people could seem like an overreaction. But I'm not thinking in God's mind. God wanted His people to worship Him and to not worship these idols, to be following Him, and they were leading Him away. The nation of the kingdom of Israel was in apostasy. It was going a direction that God did not want. So the question really is, what picture of God do we have? Does it match our story, or does our picture of God not match God? God is God, and His ways are above our ways. So that's where I come down on that. I forgot to pray before we started, but we're going to pray right now. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Bible that You've given us, that it is there for us to learn from, and thank You that we can dig into what You have told us and find meaning and purpose. Lord, some of it is still just going to be a mystery, and I pray that as we are challenged to look into those mysteries and find more out about You and understand You more and just want to be more like Your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. So, last week Daniel talked about being good within the congregation. I want to leave you with, be excellent to each other. That's my favorite quote. Some of you have not heard it yet, but because I haven't been up here in a while, and hopefully it'll be a while before I come back up.